June 2nd, 2005. This is the House Special Committee on the Budget, Subcommittee on Human Services and Public Safety. And today we will be reviewing two House bills, 15136, which relates to the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training Budget Bill, and House Bill 5140, which relates to the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training Fee Bill. And we'd like to begin with by convening a work session on House Bill 5136. Doug Wilson is our legislative fiscal officer.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, in front of you is a packet, and we passed something out a few days ago, and that is outdated for a change that the co-chair made, when we get to that point. We added almost $1 million for regional training in the recommendation. That is the only difference between what you have been given and the new version of it. That's why it's a draft. So that decision was made in the last couple days. So there is a new memo in your packet. Let me first apologize for the agenda. It says 8:30 p.m. It should be a.m. That was my mistake. In front of you in the packet, in the first memo to you for House Bill 5136, we have the memo and then the worksheet. I'll be spending most of my time on the worksheet or table, but I'll start off with the memo here. I think most of you have heard the presentation on DPSST, the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, but briefly they have five major programs: the Criminal Justice Training and Certification Program, which is their law enforcement, correctional officer, parole, probation, emergency communication certification and training program. It is the largest program they have, and in terms of training, it makes up the majority of the training for the organization. The next program is the Fire Training and Certification Program. As it states, this program does certification and training of firemen, I guess, or firewomen across the state, firefighters. And please keep in mind that the majority of the firefighters in this state are volunteer. They rely here mostly on a regional training basis. And there is an increase in this program as part of this budget. The private security program is a relatively new program for the agency compared to the others. It is a licensing and certification of both private security firms and private security personnel or officers. The Administration Support Services Program is what it sounds like, but it is expanded as the new facility opens, because the food service and the maintenance, the operations, and housekeeping-related activities of the new facility are part of this program. So it is a significant part of the program because it supports the training in the Criminal Justice Training and Certification Program. And finally is the Public Safety Memorial Fund. It provides financial assistance to family members and those that are either family members of those public safety officials that are either killed or disabled in the line of duty. And going on, Mr. Chair, to the second page of the memo, just some major features of this budget that differ significantly from the governor, or that are major features. You'll see an adjustment for debt service from the governor's budget, which is based on better information. When you put the governor's budget together, you're doing it quite a bit out in front of the start of the biennium, and better information comes available as you move toward through the session, and that's the case here. All the bonds or COPs have now been sold for the facility, I believe, so you have a good solid base of information for that. This budget, as in the Department of Justice budget you saw last week, reverses the governor's proposal to put all of the criminal fines and assessment monies, or CFA funds, into the general fund and then appropriate general fund to the various agencies who have traditionally received CFA funding. It reverses that, and you'll see a mixture in this fund where general fund is used for debt service, but CFA funds are used for the operations of the appropriate programs that have received CFA funding in the past. The budget includes funding along the lines that the governor did to expand the basic training from 10 to 16 weeks in January 2007, roughly, and to open the new facility in the summer of 2006. And it's my understanding that the facility is on schedule in terms of its construction. And then one other note that's not here as a bullet is there's an additional $1 million for regional training that I'll discuss when we get to that point. So, Mr. Chair, I would suggest, as we've done with these larger agencies, that the committee, I'll walk through with the committee each of those five major sections or program units and take a motion. I would suggest taking a motion for each one of those. So if you turn to the worksheet on the top, which is, should be page 422, I will walk through the various policy packages. There are a number of them here. Many of them are technical adjustments in nature, so it shouldn't take too long. Starting in package 070, this was, as the governor was putting together his budget, there was a shortage of CFA funds. You saw this also in the Crime Victims Program in the Department of Justice. At this package, eliminated 17 positions and of almost $3.5 million, but all of this is restored in package 101. Package 090 is the adjustment that's made as part of the governor's budget development process, and in this case, a little over $500,000 was taken out of the budget. Generally, this would have probably fallen into the cost of student lodging and meals at the existing facility and potentially at the new facility. Again, the House plan here restores this reduction in a later policy or policy package. On page 5 of 22, this is here. The first step.
Representative, what's that?
Mr. Wilson, did the discussion continue about charging county or the users for room or board or food or whatever? Did that go anywhere?
Mr. Chair, in the House plan, that is not an issue. It's not a proposal at this time. There's still some discussion on the Senate side potentially on that issue. But in terms of the House plan, what's in front of you today, there is no additional charges or fees contemplated or assumed.
Thank you.
On top of page 5 of 22, package 096 is the first, again, of some of those packages you'll see around as the budget is developed around CFAA. This makes a fund shift from CFAA to general fund in the budget. This is reversed in package 815 at the end of this unit after all the adjustments have been made. Package 101, as I stated before, restores the 17 positions and almost $3.5 million in the cuts that were in package 070. Package 103, you'll find package 103 in a few places in the budget. It deals with the startup costs and the operational costs associated with the new facility. This facility is scheduled to open in July 17th is the opening date or the kickoff date or whatever of next year in 2006. In this case, the major feature of this package is a decrease of roughly $985,000 from the budget for the costs that presently are paid to Western Oregon University for student fees or room and board costs that the university pays. Those fees are added back in the administrative and support division later on in my presentation. Package 104, which is at the bottom and page 5 and the top of page 6, this is the package that provides the additional positions that are required to expand the basic law enforcement course to from the current 10 weeks to 16 weeks. These include these positions include a number of different types of positions, tactical trainers, skill trainers, staff that develop and continue to develop curriculum, as well as the basic training and classroom staff that go along with that. It also includes the purchase of a new skid car that they use for training on training and the use of more high-speed and pursuit training. Keep in mind that the staff is phased in generally 6 to 8 months prior to the expansion of the course for training, curriculum development, and as they get ready to expand to a much more broad, larger scope basic training. Just to note that this basic training has been assumed or hoped to be expanded to 16 weeks for a number of years. It might have been something like the 1997 legislature, sometime in that realm, that the assumption was made that DPSST would go to somewhere around 16 weeks in the future. And the new facility allows them to do that now because the present site does not have the space or the facilities that are required for that. Package 105 is a limited duration position request. This is a position that is funded with an ODOT public safety training grant. The governor would propose, since this grant comes every biennium, to make this a permanent position and not a limited duration. We, as LFO, agree with the governor's budget and his recommendation or proposal, and the only adjustment we make in this or recommend is the PERS rate adjustment of a little over $1,000. Package 111 is, I believe it's 7 reclassifications of positions. These are been approved by the Department of Administrative Services, Human Resources Division, the folks that do approve reclassifications, and they've all been reviewed through the process on the executive branch side. They're financed in terms of the funding for these by a reduction in services and supplies, so there is no cost to the budget in this biennium for these reclasses. They're listed there, the positions. There's a director of academy training, a supervisor of academy training, the skills supervisor, and the others that these are mainly one reason for these reclasses is the expansion of both the staff and the training scope. And so the responsibilities have increased as a result. Package 801 on page 7 is the LFO recommendation for the PERS rate reduction and the reduction in the Attorney General attorney rate, or the hourly rate. That totals almost $43,000 as a reduction. Package 811 is... after the budget was developed and proposed by the governor and printed, the agency was notified they would receive a one-year Homeland Security grant for training public safety officials to the standards of the federal government. These would be those individuals, command staff, emergency communication personnel, that would be the responders to a major incident, and this training will be provided across the state. The addition is of one position, 0.25 FTE, and it is a limited duration position. These funds may be awarded annually, but it is not a certainty that they would be awarded annually. And for that reason, the recommendation is for a limited duration position.
Mr. Chair.
Rosie, wasn't that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Minister, can you tell us how long that training...
Just a moment. It's not been called up.
I'm sorry.
So please ask a question.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Mr. Wilson, do we know how long the training would exist? Is it a day training or a week training in the community?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, actually, I'm not sure. I think the agency would probably be the better one to answer that question.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Representative Wisner. For the record, my name is Eric Gablix, Deputy Director of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. The grant that we received was actually part of a larger grant that we submitted to help train local responders in what's called the National Incident Management System, or the NIMS model, which Homeland Security has adopted. Our training that was approved is for a class called I-200, which is for first-level supervisors, which is 2 days in length, and then also I-300, which is for managers larger incidents, and that training is 3 days in length. So our proposal is to basically take those classes around on a regional basis to counties. The I-200 will deliver one in each county, and the I-300 will deliver one in each region. So it adds up pretty quick as far as money, but it's a need that we have in the state to meet the federal guidelines.
Other question?
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
I think that's good. I would like to maybe receive some information on the, because I'm working, trying to become knowledgeable on the Homeland Defense, so I'd like to maybe see the program for that and how that's going to be done. That's good.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, continuing on package 812 at the bottom of page 7, this is the new package or new funding in this budget that was not part of your earlier handout. This package provides just short of $1 million along five positions to partially restore and augment the regional training capacity of the agency in terms of law enforcement training. Over the past few years, because of funding constraints, regional training has been cut, partially restored, cut, partially restored. And this package adds five positions. Some of these positions or resources would be used to provide local sort of high liability, high risk training, things like firearms training, use of force tactics, as well as leadership and instructor development courses. The agency provides basic training and other enhanced training, but local agencies also must provide training, ongoing training to their personnel where possible, and the agency provides sort of a training-to-training trainer service or coursework. The funding also is included here to purchase training equipment as well as three new trailers to provide to carry the equipment around the state. This augments their existing supply of these regional training equipment that's already in place. Funding will be from criminal fines and assessment revenue.
Mr. Chair. President Hanna.
Mr. Wilson, do you know within that $1 million figure what part of that is labor or
personnel cost?
Personnel cost versus what part is the capital?
The personnel cost, if I'm thinking off the top of my head, I could dig for it. It's about $540,000, $550,000. And the rest is you have, since these people travel significantly, since they are regional training, there are travel costs, there is purchase of equipment to outfit the trainers in terms of some of the equipment they use, as well as the purchase. I think there's about $30,000 in there for the purchase of the trailers, of the three trailers.
I mentioned that there's about 300 part-time trainers across the state in various departments, and this the regional trainers will be able to assist with the training of those trainers so that they can work on an ongoing basis with the officers in each of the facilities.
Moving on, package 814 at the top of page 8. This is the reduction in services and supplies that are included in those budgets that did have general fund in the governor's budget. And this reduction for this unit is just a little bit over $100,000. And then finally, package 815 returns the funding to CFAA. And so there is no general fund in this program unit, and this nets out for all the adjustments that have been made to this point and removes the remaining general fund from this program unit's budget. Mr. Chair, there is a budget note recommended in this on the memo at the bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3. One of the issues that have been around for a few biennia has been the discussion around integrating the basic recruit training for the Oregon State Police into the Department of Public Standards and Training Basic Law Enforcement. Both the state police and DPSSD have been working together to do this. And this budget note, first of all, directs that the 16-week police training curriculum would fully integrate the Oregon State Police recruit training into DPSST no later than January 1, 2007 is when the course is to start. That would be the expectation that at that time OSP would not run their separate recruit school but would use the DPSST training. That does not mean that continued OSP-related training wouldn't continue on after that for what skills they feel are unique to that agency and the values of that agency, but in terms of the basic training received by most law enforcement personnel across the state police would be part of that process. They'd be integrated into the various classes that run through the 16-week course in the future. The budget note also instructs both agencies to report to the emergency board sometime before October 15th, 2006. We generally have a September e-board meeting or sometime around then, and report on the integration efforts of the recruit training into the police academy training.
You're Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you like a motion at this point to take the budget, to include the budget note in, or are we going to do it more comprehensively at the end?
Well, let's see. We can do the recommendation relating to criminal justice standards and training portion of the budget to accept LFO recommendations and the proposed budget note. So that would be appropriate motion at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the LFO recommendations for the training and standards unit, including the proposed budget note.
Representative Hansen moves that the committee adopt the LFO's recommendations relating to criminal justice standards and training unit and the proposed budget note. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, the next unit is the fire training and standard unit. This budget grows significantly in the recommendations, mainly because the fire insurance premium tax, which funds this and the state fire marshal, that funding source was stabilized by the 2003 legislature, and as a result, positions can be added to this program for training, and that's the major reason for that this increase, which we'll get to in a second. If you go to the tables or the worksheet, starting on page 9, the 090 package is a small reduction. It reflects the Smart Buy program changes that are in most budgets. Package 103 is an increase of almost $45,000 in other funds. This does a couple things that you'll see in some of these packages. With the facility moving from Monmouth at Western University, Oregon University, to the Salem area, the mass transit tax does apply in the Salem area, so there needs to be an increase in the budget for that. And second of all, with the new facility, there needs to be, they need to charge the rent to those programs that aren't funded through CFA or from the law enforcement side. So you'll see in private security and fire training, which have separate funding sources, that there is an increase for what is basically the use of the facility by those programs funded by that. That rent payment, which is charged at the going rate of $1.50, which is the same that DAS uses for new facilities, then offsets the need for payment for the use of the facility or the cost of the facility from the CFAA funding. DPSST owns this facility, not DAS, but this is an internal sort of rent payment between their programs. You'll see this also in the private security program. Package 108, this is the restoration and improvement to the fire training. Again, most of this training is done regionally. As I noted before, the fire insurance premium tax was stabilized by the 2003 legislature. Revenues have grown to the point where it can now is sufficient enough to add five new positions. These positions actually do represent, on the most part, restoration of positions that were cut in the past two biennia. The positions added here are fire training coordinators. These are folks that are housed across the state, and these are in the metro and the northwest area of the state, the southeast area of the state, and the valley around Salem and Corvallis and that part of the valley. The other portions of the state are already covered. There's a fire certification specialist and a support staff to help process in the certification, because they need to certify all the firefighters across the state, and there's a workload issue there. In addition, this package proposes funding for leadership training and other training for fire officials across the state, as well as the purchase of a live burn trailer. I'm not sure exactly what a live burn trailer looks like, but it is used across, as a regional training tool. That total package is between $1.1 and $1.2 million and adds five positions. The only adjustment that LFO has is for the PERS adjustment. Package 111 is a reclassification request. This proposes reclassing a fire training supervisor, and it was approved by the human resources staff, again, at DAS, like the others. Actually, I had proposed, I'm looking at this, to internally finance this, but it looks like, unfortunately, I forgot to make that change in the worksheet, so the numbers do not reflect that. I'll leave it up to the committee to decide whether they want to internally finance and have the agency find the savings to fill that $6,500 cost of this reclassification. But the numbers at this point do not reflect that. That's a mistake that I made in the worksheet. Package 801 is the PERS and AG reduction, and that's standard across all agencies, and in this case it's a rough $6,000 reduction in this budget. And that concludes the fire training and standards unit.
Well, I would be very willing to make the motion. The question is, do we want to include the $6,500 with conceptual amendment, or...
I think we ought to make it, including in the motion, agency is to internally finance this $6,516 expenditure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that we accept LFO's recommendation on the fire training and standards unit, with the understanding that the agency is to internally finance the $6,516 expenditure for the reclassification package.
Representative Hansen moves that we accept LFO's recommendation relating to the fire training and standard unit, including the expectation that the agency is to internally finance the $6,516 expenditure that was reviewed in package 111. Is there discussion on the motion? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was originally reluctant to think in terms of that the agency would have to eat that, but considering that it's an LFO problem, I know the policy would be to take it out of Mr. Wilson's salary otherwise, so, you know, we don't want that to happen.
Well, we're trying to cover for these occasional coupons. Anyway, with the size of the budget and the small amount of that money, I'm sure that if it is a problem, this agency could come to the e-board and request further consideration. Is there further discussion on this motion? Is there objection? Hearing none, then the recommendations relating to fire training and standard units have been accepted.
The chair, myself, and my family, thank you for consideration.
Once in college.
The next unit is the private security unit of the budget. There is a fee bill that relates to this unit that will be heard next. It's House Bill 5140. Actually, the fee increases have been proposed, but since they were increased, the agency took a look at the revenues they were bringing in from the existing fees and felt the increase was not necessarily, so they've actually rolled back those fee increases. And when we get to House Bill 5140 on today's agenda, there'll be amendments to that case. There are really no other budget issues in this, major budget issues in this unit, given that. Going back to the table on page 12, the package 090 is a reduction for the Smart Buy program in the analyst adjustments. That's the BAM analyst adjustments. Package 103, like the fire program, this is an increase of just over $25,000 for the mass transit tax and to pay for their share of the operational costs through a rent payment to the internal transfer to the in the agency. That is a total of $25,000. Package 111, again, my faux pas. Meant to do it and I didn't do it. This is a reclass of, I believe, one position. And again, I missed making the adjustment in the text, but did not make it in the numbers. And that, and then package 801 is the analyst adjustment for the PERS reduction and the AG rate.
Okay, would you explain, now that we're seeing this a second time, what effect, I assume that you're saying that the option for the 6,310 is to also that it be that be eternally assumed.
Yes.
Is that money in the budget?
No, it is. The reduction is not reflected in the numbers.
Okay, is this going to cause a hardship on the agency?
I do not believe so. It is not a great deal of funding for that compared to the size of the program.
Is there other places before we're done where that's going to show up again?
I do not believe so, sir. I'm making sure of that. We have only one more unit that has staff, and I believe that one was in the governor's budget internally financed.
Okay.
Yes, that's the case. Package 111 in the final unit.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we adopt the LFO recommendations on the private security unit with the inclusion that, or with the agency to internally finance the $6,356 reclassification package 111.
Is the number 6310?
Yes, it is.
6310.
Representative Hansen moves that we accept LFO's recommendations relating to the private security unit portion of this bill, including the requirement that the agency internally fund the $6,310 mentioned in package 111. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. So moved.
Mr. Chair, just one note on this, the private security program. Later on, you will hear about the Board of Investigators, and one proposal being considered by the legislature is to fold the Board of Investigation into this program. It isn't being done in this budget yet because the bill has not, I do not believe the bill is down in either the House or Senate budget committees yet, but by the end of the session, that would be the likely proposal, is to fold that program into this program, and the budget would be adjusted in that bill to implement that change. That's just a heads up that that's coming. The next program, Mr. Chair, is the Public Safety Memorial Fund. Just a word of warning that trying to project the expenditures of this program is difficult. They've been successful to this point to stay within the budgets that are allocated, but a greater number of deaths or disability caused by accidents in the line of duty could send this program into a deficit and they could be back to the e-board. At this point in time, the amount allocated for this program between the new funding and the existing carry forward should be sufficient based on past spending in this program. If you turn to page 14 of the table, package 096 is the fund shift that is reversed later on. The governor proposed, again, taking all of the CFA revenue, putting it in the general fund, and then allocating or appropriating general fund out. This is reversed in the recommendations in package 815. Package 814 is a reduction of 3% of the services and supply, which is part of the House plan. It is a whopping $150 in this program. I should say that most of the program dollars in this program are special payments to individuals for those payments to families or disabled public safety officers. Package 815 then reverses the governor's proposal and returns funding, the new funding for this program of $104,000 to CFAA, and it would no longer be general fund. And that, Mr. Chair, member subcommittee, is the extent of this program unit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move acceptance of LFO's recommendations on the Public Safety Memorial Fund.
Representative Hansen moves that we accept LFO's recommendation on Public Safety Memorial Fund. Is there a discussion? Representative Hansen.
Well, quick discussion, and obviously this this part of the budget works and it fits. This is a real long-going problem. I mean, this program was set with absolute best intentions. I think it fills a valuable niche in terms of it's a way to, in case of a safe public safety person's death, it creates a very fast, workable way to get some resources to them. On the other hand, the sustainability of it long term, I would hope that we'd look at some point in the future figuring out how to stabilize it a little better than it is, so that one of my concerns is the obligation that we have to these officers and their family if we ever have the type of multiple incidences and stuff that would, if you had to wait to go to the e-board in order to make an adjustment or something in order to get resources to a family, that wouldn't be meeting our responsibilities well. And long term, I think this is something we need to take a look at, and especially seeing how it fits with some of the other benefits that I mean, it's a good program, but this gets us through another 2-year increment with it, but I think at some point we're going to have to try and come up with a permanent fix for it.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, how is it determined? We were just discussing this, how much someone might get and how, what's it for, and maybe.
Director?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the Public Safety Memorial Fund, my name is John Menace. I'm the director of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Public Safety Memorial Fund is established in statute and generally serves two purposes. One is in line of duty deaths. There's a $25,000 payment that was the way the law was originally envisioned. It would be a stopgap measure to help families in the event that they had a loss of this type. There were subsequent amendments to the law that extended those benefits to individuals who were severely injured in the line of duty or permanently disabled in the line of duty. It also provides benefits for the children of those families, which Mr. Chairman Representative Hansen is right on. There's an issue with this particular program that I think the department needs to pay particular attention to, and that is the obligations that extend into the future. I believe we have over 20 children right now that are potentially do benefits, and if you extrapolate those numbers out into the future, they receive college benefits and are allowed to go to college. This fund pays for those college bills, and also medical benefits are provided. So it's very difficult to calculate who's going to take advantage of those benefits. So it's not just tied to how many officers might die, but who those beneficiaries are and how many of them take advantage of the benefits. And it's looking an awful lot like an insurance program right now. So.
Thank you. It looks like for the past biennium, it hasn't been drained very much. We have only $105,000 going into it of new money, and we have a balance of $556,000. Is that correct? So we've actually been in there with, we've got a carryover of more than $450,000.
That's correct.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Further question? Discussion? I can't finish the motion until Representative Hannah returns.
Mr. Chair, we'll
return to that. Let's table that.
Okay. Just a note, what we've done in the past, and I'm not sure if the agency has done this, but had discussions maybe trying to access the actuarial expertise of the Department of Consumer and Business Services to talk to them about this program, because Mr. Minnis is right. It's sort of growing into an insurance-like program, and that they do not have the expertise if this program grows significantly on their staff, or should they hire an actuary necessary on their staff, but there are expertise in elsewhere in state government that they could consult with at least.
Certainly. Okay. So we'll table this motion for the time being on the Public Safety Memorial Fund and proceed to administration.
Mr. Chair, before we...
Representative.
Thank you. Just before we get away, Mr. Wilson, have they looked at... instead of actually paying cash out, buy insurance policies to cover the families, and that's what you're saying, is we need to look at that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, my comments were more around sort of the trying to gauge the growth, potential growth of the program, and using actuarial skills. I do not know, even if the statute allows for the purchase of insurance for this kind of thing. I think that's something that we could explore in the interim. The program is not that large right now, but each death or disabling accident makes it larger, and the liabilities increase as a result.
Well, and look at what happened in New York. There, a large number of people, disaster, it can be not only a personal hardship for us and lose the lives, but also financial if we have to. So we might want to consider that as looking at insurance, purchasing insurance instead of...
Certainly, that would be a good approach. You could do that with annuities as well and say, okay, you have a child that's 5 years old. At age 18, we want there to be paid out $25,000 in today's dollars, and they calculate that out, and then they give you a premium in today's dollars to assure that money's there when the child... is of college age. I mean, that could be done. All right. Is there further discussion on the recommendation of the motion by Representative Hansen to accept LFO's recommendation on Public Safety Memorial Fund? If not, is there objection? Hearing none, then that is so moved.
Mr. Chair, the next unit is the Administrative and Support Services Division, or Program Unit. This is the last unit for this agency. It is expected to grow by almost 150% in this budget, but keep in mind that growth is primarily due to three factors: increased debt service of almost $9 million, the operational costs of a new facility, as well as this food service, housekeeping, and sort of the daily cost of serving students other than the training portion, since this is a resident school for the basic law enforcement and some of the other training, that also impacts this budget. While this budget grows significantly this biennium, there will be some significant roll-up costs in the 0709 as you roll out the 10-week course, and since the new facility is only operating really for a year of the biennium. So what you approve today will grow again for 0709 as a result, but by not as much. Going back to the table or the worksheet on page 16, the first package, you saw this in the first program unit. As a budget, early stages of budget development, it did not look like CFA funding would bring in a sufficient amount. So a number of programs were cut, including this one. As a result, there were four positions cut and $670,000. Again, this is restored in package 101. So it is just a part of the process here at this stage. The 090 adjustments, this is a reduction of $86,000 that the BAM analysts recommended to the governor. It reduces services and supply, as well as the Smart Buy program savings. The next package is the governor's proposed CFA fund shift, as within the first unit, putting all of the CFA funds into the general fund and then appropriating general fund back out to those programs, again in package 815. This proposed governor's action is partially reversed, and I'll talk about what's in and what's out when we get to package 815. Package 101 is the restoration of those cuts, or reductions of four positions that were in package 070. Everything is restored. The only thing that the LFO recommendations differ is in the PERS reduction. Package 102, even though it doesn't show as any numbers here, it is a transfer as a reduction in services and supply, and moved into the debt service and financing cost to pay for COPs. There's a relatively small amount of funds. In package 103, these are the startup costs and operational increases of the new facility. This is their largest package. It includes adding 21 positions, and these positions range from the building staff, the maintenance staff, the plumbers, those kinds of folks, as well as groundskeepers. And it also includes some additional human service or human resource or personnel staff, and a couple financial-related staff, recognizing both the growth in the number of staff in this agency as well as operating a new facility. Also included in this package is the increased food service costs and housekeeping costs that now will be contracted out to a private provider, where before those costs were being paid to Western Oregon State or University, where they are now located. So halfway through the biennium, there'll be a reversal in the payment of those funds. If you recall, in the first unit that this going through this budget, there was a $985,000 decrease in the package. This package compensates for that reduction by adding that and funding for the second half of the biennium back into the budget. The LFO recommendation is slightly different. It first adjusts for the PERS, but it also, at the recommendation of the or suggestion of the agency, they hired a new person to run the facility, a facilities manager. He took a look at the staff that was allocated or recommended in the governor's budget and suggested some new changes. These changes added three positions and subtracted two positions. The added positions were a plumber, an electrician, and a carpenter, at the expense of eliminating in the package an electric technician and a trades of maintenance position. Overall, there is actually a $96 decrease in the personnel cost this biennium, mainly because of the startup dates of all the positions have slightly changed, but there will be a roll-up cost by that change in what's being proposed originally and what's being proposed as part of the LFO recommendation, a slight increase in the cost in 0709 as a result of this personnel makeup. I think given the reason or given the fact that this agency has not operated a facility in the past, and there are some challenges for the management of this agency who did not necessarily have experience in running a major $75 million facility, It is our intent to make sure that they have the people on board that they need to work this facility. They may be requesting further positions in the future by NEA, and that's where I really think the need takes a look at the experience that they've gained in the first year of operation. So, Mr. Chair, there is a slight change in the recommendation from the governor's proposal in Package 103. Package 104,
Mr. Chair.
Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, you didn't mention it in there, but in the package, 103 is the $90,000 liquidated damages front to Western Oregon University. I have two questions regarding that. One is, would you remind the committee the timeline that has? And two, has there been a continued discussion or dialogue with the university for them to try and utilize the space in another manner? Are we marketing the space in any other way, or are we just looking at making the payment for the remainder of whatever the lease period is?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hannah, I believe the lease period was at least another 10 years. I can't remember the exact amount. The agency probably can be better at that, and I'm sure they've had discussions with the university since I have had those discussions.
Mr. Chairman, again, my name is John Menace, Director of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. The termination of the lease is in the year 2017. We have had some continued discussions with the university of recent. There is some disagreement in terms of the interpretation of the lease, in that the university finance manager recently presented their view of the lease, suggesting that we may owe more than the $90,000. In fact, they believe we may owe $1 million a year. We disagree with that position, so we'll try to continue our discussions to resolve those issues. In addition to that, the discussion with the university has indicated that they do have current capital construction projects on the chalkboard, if you will. They're currently dealing with some challenges in terms of student population and cash flow within the university itself. They do not have, as if I understand correctly, and Mr. McGee is here, who's also the analyst for the university system, who's better able to speak to this. They do not have capital construction projects in this current legislature, from what I understand. And the indication I was given from the university is they don't have the additional general fund dollars to match for revenue bonds to move ahead with their current building project. So it's really an issue that's kind of standing out there, searching for a resolution. They are trying to find a tenant if they can. The problem is that the dormitory facilities that currently exist within which our students reside are antiquated and need a substantial amount of renovation. We do have a building that was built, I believe, in 1985 or later that's fairly sufficient for their needs, but the other buildings, I think, are envisioned to be demolished completely and then built up around it. So that's the best information I have. Discussions are ongoing.
Further questions?
Well, a follow-up would just, and I don't know, but I mean, I think this issue is one worth being appraised of.
The mitigation of damage issue.
And I would like to have assurance, I guess, that we're going to receive an update on where this is. I mean, we've heard about it a couple of times. To me, it's a fairly significant issue, and I think we just need to have a vehicle by which we're appraised of the situation.
Okay, then a follow-up question is in order. The $90,000 for liquidated damages, is that pursuant to the contract or a negotiated figure that would free us from further liability?
Mr. Chairman, it is pursuant to the contract based on our interpretation of the contract, and it's $90,000 per year until the year 2017.
Okay, so there's a difference of opinion between $17 million, well, $12 million, I guess, whatever the number would be, $1 million a year, and the $90,000. How do you see that being resolved?
Mr. Chairman, in my less than learned position, I think it is a political question. It is a political issue that needs to be resolved at a political level. Because it's really out of the realm of our ability to influence Western Oregon University's utilization of that facility per se, and I think it's something that is significant enough that there needs to be a higher level political decision and discussions with perhaps the governor's office and the university system itself in terms of how they want to resolve it.
Okay, so actually we have two aspects. One would be the political aspect for utilization of the space, and the other would be the legal aspect of what the contract says and what it would require in the way of liquidated damages.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. In my discussions with the Attorney General's offices, we don't like the idea of state agencies involving themselves in litigation between each other. Some states do engage in that. We would hope that we would find a resolution outside of any public disagreement.
Okay, who would be the contact person that could let us know what goes on with that?
Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. McGee is the budget management analyst for the university system. Mr. Fernsteiner, the chancellor of the Oregon University System, I believe, has also been apprised of the situation and is fully aware of it. There is the current president, Dr. Kahn, is leaving, I believe, midsummer, has resigned from his position. And I believe the university is searching for a new president, so there will be new leadership there also.
Okay. This is actually complex enough that I think Mr. Wilson will need to be the contact person.
Mr. Chair, as a follow-up, and we've just had this brief discussion, it would be my hope, and as we proceed through this section, I know that we have a budget note at the end of administration and support services. I would like to present the idea that included in that budget note would be a report in some timely fashion on this issue.
Okay. All right.
For you to consider that idea.
All right. We'll get to that budget note. Further questions at this point? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Package 104 is related to the expansion of the 16-week basic police academy, as well as other needs of the agency. As the student base of this agency increases, they are outstripping their sort of information management systems in terms of, you know, keeping track of students, registering students, and all the costs that go along with that. And this is a proposal to replace a number of outdated databases and applications with new databases or new systems at a cost of just under $500,000. There had been a question, I believe, during the presentations that whether this had gone to the Joint Committee on Information Management, and I believe the agency had talked to the executive branch, and this doesn't quite meet the threshold for going through that committee, but they are participating, is my understanding, with the information resources management staff in this, which is the sort of the overall state government located at DAS, the control people in this area, and they are working with them on this project. We recommend the approval of it. Package 105 is a 3 limited duration positions requests. This continues the 3 positions that are now part of the agency that are managing the construction project. These are financed from proceeds of the certificates of participation or the COPs. They are scheduled to be phased out soon after the completion of the facility as their work is completed. And the only adjustment here that LFO recommends from the governor's budget is an adjustment for the PERS rate reduction. Package 111 is the reclassification request, and this was already internally financed, so it did not give the opportunity for the LFO staff to fall down on the job and miss it. This, in this case, reclasses 2 positions, the business services director and an information specialist position. Again, these reclasses had been reviewed by the DAS personnel folks and approved. Package 801 is the PERS reduction and AG rate, hourly rate reduction. This totals just a little over $18,000 for this program unit. Package 811 is an adjustment to what the debt service need was in the agency in terms of the governor's budget. As I said before, based on more up-to-date information, based on actual sales data of the amount, as well as the interest rates and the timing of the payments and sale, there is a savings of almost $3.5 million. And part of that is a carry forward of capitalization capitalized interest from the previous biennium that was available, and that represented $1.3 million of that $3.5 million. So there is a net savings to the general fund in this case of $3.4 million, or almost $3.5 million. Package 812 is something that was not anticipated in the governor's budget. During the construction of the facility, and some of the equipment is eligible for energy-related investments or energy rebates of one kind or another. The original estimate had been $300,000. That is the amount that's actually included in the Senate plan. But more up-to-date information due to changes in the HVAC equipment in the shooting range has lowered that potential for rebates to roughly $150,000, and that amount is taken out of the budget of this program unit, reflecting that that will be increased revenues from an other fund source, and so there's general fund removed from the budget. Package 814 is the reduction of services and supplies by 3%. It totals just a bit over $100,000 in this budget, or program unit budget. Again, that is included in the House budget plan, or assumed in the House budget plan. And finally, package 815 is reverses the governor's proposal for payment of all of CFA revenues into the general fund and then using general fund. In this case, the co-chairs on both sides decided to keep the debt service as general fund, but all the operations money would then be returned to CFA funding. So there still remains roughly $8.5 million general fund to pay the debt service. One factor that will have to be considered later on in session is, since the governor used all of the available CFA funding that had been allocated in previous biennia, which would have been carried forward from one biennia to another, when we do the allocation bill for CFA under this proposal, we will have to allocate a little bit more funding than what the budget requires, so there is funding available for the first few months of the 07-09 biennium. We are working right now with the Department of Revenue and the agencies involved to try to determine how fast the CFA payments can get to the agencies. Right now they're paid quarterly. We think, and that would require 3 to 4 months of upfront working capital. We feel that that can be reduced some if they pay on a monthly basis, and that's being explored. That doesn't change the limitation in this budget. What it will change is the amount allocated in the CFA allocation bill, which comes late in session after all the budgets are completed. One reason to keep the general fund in the debt services, that first debt service payment of, I believe it's like $2.1 million roughly, would be due in the first couple months, or the first few months of the biennium, and we would have to upfront all that money to pay that first debt service in 07-09. So, Mr. Chair, that is the extent of the LFO recommendations in terms of on the numbers. There is a budget note, as Representative Hannah suggested, that it starts on page 4 at the bottom. The budget note itself is at the top of page 5. This budget note was actually suggested by the agency because they feel, for one thing, that they are starting a major facility. They want to make sure that the legislature is kept abreast of all the matters dealing there. So the budget note would both be sort of a physical plant update as well as a curriculum development to the 16 weeks. So the first item would be progress on the curriculum development for the new 16-week course. The second report or portion of the report would be progress for the first responders to acts of terrorism in terms of curriculum development, more specific items in the curriculum development. The third portion or component would be an update on the completion of the facility and the cost drivers and the engineering value savings or decisions that were used to stay within the budget. The fourth would be an update on the move from Western Oregon University to the new academy here in Salem. The fifth component would be, excuse me, the development of a strategic plan for training overall in the course of all public safety agencies throughout the state, in regional training as well as a base of academy. And we would add wording for a sixth component of this report, an update on the negotiations and the discussions with Western Oregon University on the liquidation.
Number four, too.
What?
Number four could say the move from Western Oregon University site to the new Salem Academy, including ongoing lease obligations and costs, if any.
Right.
So it deals with that. Or it could be also.
That says on instead of no.
Okay. Thank you. And I will add that language in the budget report to reflect the liquidation.
Whether you want it in four or as a separate one is fine, but let's make that addition to the budget note.
So, Mr. Chair, if there are no further questions, that's the extent of our recommendations on the Administration and Support Services Division.
Okay, well, let's put on hold a motion accepting that until Representative Hansen returns, and go ahead and proceed into performance measure review.
Okay, Mr. Chair, in the back of your packet should be a table, the usual performance. It was probably on the back of the it was at the back of the packet. If you don't have one, I probably have a couple extra copies.
You can read them. Good.
Well, I got it.
Where
you have
it.
On the front page there is the performance measures. They have a number of new measures here that are noted in the far right column were added. The committee had quite a bit of discussion around this in terms of the joint committee process and agreed with these rankings. There was some discussion around the usefulness and the methodology behind some of the survey work, and the agency was going to explore that further. We would suggest, though we don't recommend any specific changes to the targets in 2006 or 2007, what I've done in that far right column is sort of noted the latest 2004 numbers for the targets, and some of them are higher and some of them are lower than the targets for 2006 or 2007. If the agency would like to change those targets, they're surely free to make those recommendations. Other than that, Mr. Chair, that is pretty much the extent of the review of the performance measures. There have been
no targets.
Mr. Chair, as the committee looks at the targets, there had been some discussion of trying to take a look at, instead of sort of usefulness or the ranking of what could be called customer satisfaction, there had been talk of trying to take a look at some of, you know, different measures that may be more objective in nature, using data that's not collected through surveys. We will work with the agency in the interim. At this point, we haven't identified any of those. The agency hasn't identified, and we will work with the agency in the interim around that issue. That is something the co-chairs were interested in also, but the time frame was too short at this point to try to get those done by the end of the session.
Okay, any comments or discussion on the performance measures as outlined?
Mr. Chair, I would move acceptance.
Okay, Representative Hansen moves acceptance of performance measures as described, recommended by LFO. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, performance measures are accepted. The Chair would also entertain a motion for acceptance of LFO's recommendation on the Administration and Support Services Division.
Mr. Chair, I move LFO recommendations on the Administration and Support Services recommendation, including the budget note.
President Hanson moves acceptance of LFO's recommendations on the Administration and Support Services Division of this budget, including the proposed budget note with the addition that has been discussed relating to the potential ongoing costs of the lease. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection? If none, so moved. And we're ready for a final motion.
Mr. Chair, we need to do the amendment to the bill and then the final motion.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I have a change to the numbers because of my oversight on those two reclasses. The line 16 under section 2, the 29,307,609 should be 29,294,783, and that reflects the roughly $12,000 change. And if you take a look on the back of the performance measure table, that is a copy of what the bill will essentially look like after and without the changes in terms of the numbers. This was the original joint bill. This will be used as the basis for the new bill. But traditionally, the operations has been separated out from the Public Safety Memorial Fund as well as the debt service. And so that is the way the bill will look if you take the motion. This is traditionally the way the bill has looked in the past.
Mr. Chair, I would move the appropriation bill amendments, amending the text of House Bill 5061 into House Bill 5136, as listed by LFO, including the changes, the verbal changes that have been made, recommended by staff.
Okay, Representative Henson has moved that we amend the text of House Bill 5061 into House Bill 5136 with the printed changes on the sheet proposed by LFO, accepting that the figure of 29,307,609 should read 29,294,783. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that amendment is accepted. Is there any other item we need before we move into the final motion?
Just the final motion, Mr. Chair.
Representative Henson.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5136 as amended to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
It has been moved by Representative Henson that House Bill 5136, as amended, be moved to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there objection? We'll have a roll call, please.
Representative Bone? Aye. Representative Hannah? Aye. Representative Hanson? Aye. Representative Woodman? Aye. Representative Richardson? Aye.
So House Bill 5136, as amended, has been approved and will now pass forward to the full House Special Budget Committee. Representative Hanson, will you carry?
I would be honored to carry this budget, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there other matters that need to become
We do have another bill on the agenda, Mr. Chair.
Oh, that's right. We have a fee bill. All right. That will conclude the work session on House Bill 5136. And we now open a work session on House Bill 5140. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, there is a packet in the last memo and attachments in the packet in front of you. It's listed as House Bill 5140. This is a fee bill for the Department of Public Safety and Standards and Training. This is what we call Senate Bill 333 ratification. You've probably seen one or two of these in the past already this session. What differs in this bill is if you take a look at the second page, there's the text of House Bill 5062, which was the joint bill. This was the way it was presented, but all of the fees on this page have been determined since this bill was submitted that they do not need the increases, so they've actually rolled back the fees to what the levels were before the fee increase that took place during the current biennium. They are rolling those back, and so you need none of these as ratification of fees taken during the 2003-05 biennium, but they inadvertently left one other fee off, and that was a fee for a $40 fee for retired law enforcement or public or retired police officer certification program in the criminal justice or program unit. So the amendment, the last page of the handout, is the amendment to the bill that will implement what the agency requires, which is that $40 fee. So instead of seven fee increases, you get rid of seven and add one. And the fiscal impact of this fee is this brings in roughly $1,000 a year. So it is a relatively small program, as noted, because it's dealing with retired police, not active police.
Representative Boone, to share the wealth, you want to handle this one?
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 5140 as amended to the full House Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Boone has recommended that House Bill 5140 as amended be moved to the full the House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Hannah?
Aye.
Representative Hanson?
Aye.
Representative Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair Richardson?
Aye. President Boone, would you carry it for us?
I'd be delighted.
Thank you. All right, that ends the work session on House Bill 5140. Is there any other matters or discussion in this committee? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Okay. We know what's kept.